this time and to ordination. And we pray your blessing on her as she unpacks your word for us today. Would you speak to her and through her for Jesus' sake? Amen. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Jenny. So good morning, everyone. And you've probably noticed there's lots of firsts for me this morning. As Jenny said, it's so special that this is our first Sunday service back in St. Paul's since lockdown began. And this is my first sermon since joining you as a curate back in June. And I also have the privilege of giving the first talk in our new teaching series called Freedom. So it's a big day for me, and it's a wonderful day. You may know that I was a teacher before I began this role, and so we'd always start a new topic by giving an overview of what was to come. So let me begin by setting the scene for you for our series. And our core verse is taken from John 8, verse 36, this amazing declaration: if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And we want to explore what that freedom looks like for God's people, what we've been freed from and freed for, and how to live our lives in an ever-increasing freedom that God longs for us to know. So you'll remember the first time when Jesus announces who he is and why he has come to everyone in the temple. He takes the scrolls and reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners." So this was his mission statement, his political manifesto, if you like, freedom for the captives. And nothing has changed today. This is still the heart of the gospel for everyone who comes to Jesus. So that's why we're going to be exploring this for a few weeks. And of course, the ultimate freedom Jesus brings for us all is freedom from death when he rises from the grave. There'll also be study notes and questions that will be sent to home group leaders. So you can use those in your home groups if you want to go a little bit deeper. So today we're starting at the very beginning in Genesis to get the background on why we need freedom and what's wrong with the way things are. And then the second week, this will be followed by the story of God's people who are living in slavery under the Egyptian Pharaoh, how they are led to freedom in their own land, and we can learn from that powerful story of deliverance. And a couple of weeks following that, we can see how even in the promised land, the people of God could not get things right and still needed saving time and again. But God is faithful and keeps promising them he's going to send them a savior, his own son, to be the perfect king among them. And then we're going to have a week looking at this time of waiting for the savior or Messiah in the intertestamental period. Then we're going to look at the incarnation and how God comes alongside us in the man Jesus to bring us freedom. He enters into our suffering to free us from our pain. And we're going to finish with testimonies and stories of how Jesus is still bringing freedom to God's people today. So I hope that's whetted your appetite and puts today's talk in some context. And what we're hoping and praying for, basically, is that every one of us, as we go through these weeks together, will experience a greater level of freedom in some area of our lives. And maybe there's something that immediately springs to mind for you, but let's be asking the Holy Spirit to show us if there's an area he wants to bring more freedom to. So if we turn to our Old Testament reading this morning, we know from the story of Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, they walked with God as friends in the garden, naked and unashamed. And they had this glorious open relationship with God that brought a sense of belonging, significance, and security that we all crave. But Adam and Eve doubted God's love, God's good intentions for them. And the snake was able to suggest God was keeping something good from them. In fact, he implies that God has lied to them. God said they would die. So God had said they would die if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the snake says in verse 4, "You will not certainly die." And they listen to the snake instead of to what God has said. and swap their naked abandonment of being secure in knowing they're loved by God for guilt and shame. And they have to cover over their most intimate parts with fig leaves to try and hide from God. So they now have this broken relationship with God, aware of their sin and sense that need to cover themselves up. They no longer believe that God is for them, that they can trust in his love for them, even though he'd made them this beautiful garden to live in. And we still do the same today, or I know I do, doubting God's love for us. Does he really want what's best for us? Can I really trust him to provide for me? And then we have a moment in the narrative that I want to highlight, where God asks them, "Where are you?" It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. He's all-knowing. And we know from Psalm 139, there is no place we can go out of God's sight. But the first step in us coming into freedom is to acknowledge where we are, to acknowledge what we've been trying to cover up. And the next step is to be willing to come out of hiding before the Lord. The thing is that we go through life and we experience hurts and disappointments and we become wounded. And to stop ourselves being hurt anymore, we cover over those sensitive places with masks, not these face masks, and that we put them on for the outside world, and they can help protect us. So Arianna Walker says in her book, Mirror Image, hiding behind a false identity by wearing masks is a natural reaction to pain, and it's often used as a defense mechanism to express our hurt or to protect ourselves from more hurt. So it's a very natural thing to do. The first part of my talk on freedom I'd like to sum up as come out of hiding. If we want freedom and wholeness, we must be prepared to lay ourselves bare before God. You'll see in verse 21 that God, in his love, makes these garments of skin for Adam and Eve, something far better than their own sewing efforts with the fig leaves. So the first blood shed on earth was to cover their shame. And we see in the New Testament that Jesus' blood was shed for the same reason, to cover our sin and shame, so we can come out into the open. God covers us in his love and forgiveness so we can stand before him and each other unashamed and forgiven. Well, one of the masks I'm tempted to wear at times is the mask of perfectionism and performance. And I know this is something I struggle with, trying to earn love by being good enough, a good enough wife or sister or daughter or mother or Christian. So I like to have the perfect house and garden. So if people were coming around to our house, everything would have to be immaculate. So they wouldn't find any fault with me, so that I would measure up and win their approval. Well, that's proving a bit of a challenge now I'm living in the curate's house, because it's got a rather enormous overground front and back garden, which I can't fix before the guests come. So we had some guests for dinner on Friday night. The house was tidied, the Hoover came out. I lit the candles, I prepared a lovely dinner. And it was all going really well, until it came to the dessert, which I've brought along to show you. I'm afraid it ended up rather burnt. So my mask has thoroughly slipped off. It was inedible. Fortunately, I had some ice cream in the freezer. Anyway, the fact is that none of us are perfect, and God sees past my failings and imperfections, but loves me anyway. And other masks we can wear, things like I'm too busy, or the mask of a lively personality. And you'll find lots more on this topic in the study notes if you're interested. I've chosen the Lord's Prayer as our second reading today because it begins, Our Father. And if the first part of my talk was called Come Out of Hiding, I'd like to finish with a second come. Come to the Father. My favorite worship song at the moment is by Cody Carnes, and it's called Run to the Father. And it's a great song to have on when you're running or jogging. All the words are good, but the chorus goes, I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon and my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Jesus shows us that through him we have a way back to the Father, which is why we can call him our Father, as Jesus does. Our identity, our need for security and belonging that Adam lost in the garden are restored through Jesus. And also we can see some keys to freedom as we go through the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. So one key to freedom I found in my life is praising God, is lifting my eyes to heaven and worshiping. And that increases the sense of God's presence around me. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our lives now have significance. We're freed from the life of meaningless toil that we see described in Ecclesiastes. Now we're living for his glory and his kingdom, seeing his loving, just and righteous, merciful ways being worked out on earth. We've got that sense of purpose. Give us this day our daily bread. We can look to God to provide for us. We can be free from that fear of lack and the drive to work all hours to make ends meet. And forgive us our sins. We see God wants us to be free from the guilt and the shame over things in the past and mistakes we still make each day. As we forgive those who sin against us, another key to freedom can be forgiving those who have wronged or hurt us and letting God be their judge. I love the lines of the liturgy we'll be saying together today during communion that describe this coming to the Father. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Come out of hiding and come to the Father. My prayer is that this church community will be a safe place where we can come out of hiding and take off our self-protective masks and experience the freedom from shame and guilt, knowing we are loved unconditionally by the Father. Amen.